Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner, forensic psychologist from Copycat Killers, Real Channel's true crime program about real murders inspired by movies. Be sure to subscribe to our series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find true crime TV series like this one on Reels Channel.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised.
In 1987, the box office hit RoboCop provides audiences with action-packed violence and extreme gore.
The original RoboCop was incredibly violent. There was a ton of blood used. It was a bloodbath.
But for one obsessed fan, RoboCop is more than a violent movie franchise.
You slit her throat now!
It's a lesson on how to become a serial killer.
The first girl that I had killed was from a RoboCop movie. Though I did exactly what I seen on the movie.
In his deadly path, a series of copycat crimes will shock and devastate a small New York town.
He wasn't concerned about anything but what might make him feel good or what might help him work off some of his rage.
And just like the RoboCop villains he idolizes, this killer just keeps coming back for more.
He's never taken blame for anything in his life. Some people wonder if there are more bodies out there.
Those women were toys as far as he was concerned. At least that's how he treated them.
During the summer of 1987, Orion Pictures releases RoboCop, a futuristic action movie considered by many to be the most entertaining film of that year.
Tyler Richardson, film critic.
The first RoboCop was huge. It was one of the goriest films that had come out for that time. It had blood and guts, and they mixed in some humor as well as commentary on society.
The character of RoboCop, played by Peter Weller, is Detroit's answer to stopping crime.
RoboCop could be summarized as a terminally wounded cop who is resurrected as a cyborg to bring justice to the streets.
The film becomes a cult classic in Hollywood. It's given two sequels, a reboot, and even a television show.
Audiences connected with RoboCop on a very large level. I think that that might be because it had these tones of Christianity, in a way. He is killed immediately, and then there's this resurrection, and the city is given hope as he goes out dispensing justice.
While most fans of the film cheer on RoboCop, one viewer falls in love with the movie's villains. 32-year-old Nathaniel White has an appetite for the brutal on-screen violence.
Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner, forensic psychologist.
He wanted those personality traits. Those were the traits he could relate to. The need to kill. The lack of empathy. The inner rage. The need, really, to annihilate another human life.
The first girl that I had killed was from a RoboCop movie. I've seen a mom cut somebody's throat and then take the knife and slit them down the chest and the stomach and left the body in a certain position. And that was the first person that I killed. I did exactly what I seen on the movie.
While growing up in upstate New York, Nathaniel White seems to have all the characteristics you could ever want in a child.
Nathaniel was from a working-class family of five kids, so money was tight. For Nathaniel, he was always known as the basketball player. This is one individual who never had any behavior problems. He was never known as a bully or someone to be feared. Basically, always a nice kid.
But Nathaniel's innocent childhood is short-lived.
When he's just a young boy, he encounters a traumatic event when his parents leave him in the care of his babysitter.
Reportedly, he was molested. Following that incident, he was never the same. Because they believe in a child's mind, because of their involvement, that they must have done something to make this happen, and that they allowed it to happen.
Nathaniel doesn't tell anyone about the attack. Instead, he suffers in silence.
Sexual assault can have a long-lasting, traumatic effect on the victim. And children leave that assault with many, many, many different emotions, one of which is tremendous guilt and fear, and they're afraid to talk about it.
As Nathaniel gets older, he desperately tries to connect with women.
There's this sense of disbelief. There's this sense that people are not genuine, and it penetrates all aspects of their social interactions.
Nate didn't give the appearance of a gangster. He wasn't a hard kid. He could present the appearance of being friendly, and he was a big talker about his success with the ladies. But his social skills were somewhat limited. He kept getting rejected.
When women reject him, he spins his own version of the truth.
He would just lie, boast and brag that he achieved sexual relations with these girls, instead of maybe re-examining how he approached them. Nathaniel developed what appears to be a distrust and an anger and a resentment towards females.
After graduating from high school, Nathaniel joins the military. But his problems with forming relationships continue. He meets a woman named Wanda, and he marries her quickly. But the two divorce after only 18 months.
There's nothing wrong with a failed marriage. Two people are just not compatible. But for whatever reason, in Nathaniel's mind, there was a tremendous amount of shame, tremendous amount of humiliation.
Nathaniel's personal failures bleed over into his professional military career.
He would lie and say that he had done very well, but the military records that my newspaper looked at indicated that he received a less than honorable discharge and that he did not fulfill a 3-year commitment.
He's completely alone and not successful. He has no goals. He has no direction. So what does Nathaniel do? Like many individuals lost, he returns home again.
I think that when he washed out of the army and when his marriage broke up, it was as if all the worst possible things that could happen to someone produced the worst possible results.
In the summer of 1984, Nathaniel travels back to Poughkeepsie, New York. A broken man.
During this time, with no direction, no structure, unemployed, like many people, he turns to alcohol to numb the pain, to make life seem a little bit better, to make life a little bit more tolerable.
Nathaniel drifts from job to job. And from woman to woman. Until he meets Jill Garrison.
He was very charming. He could get your attention very quickly. Dressed very nice. Had a way about him.
Why, hello. My name's Nathaniel. What's your name?
I'm Jill.
Jill, is it?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful name.
See? All my favorites.
Okay. See if you got it.
Jill and Nathaniel eventually move in together.
But it doesn't take long for Nathaniel's problems to surface. He has trouble holding a steady job and starts binge-watching violent movies over and over again.
That's what I'm talking about!
Jill Garrison, Nathaniel White's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, he watched movies quite a bit. Anything with action.
We tried to get his Blockbuster records, but when we talked to store clerks, they seemed to remember a guy who was coming in all the time. He went straight to the movies that they kept way in the back to keep away from little kids.
This is good.
One movie franchise in particular, Nathaniel can't get enough of.
He would watch movies like RoboCop and RoboCop 2 for hours and hours on end. He'd go over scenes. He would play with the freeze frame and see what they did there.
But Nathaniel doesn't watch RoboCop to cheer on the hero. He's in it for the villains.
While most people identify with RoboCop, Nathaniel identified closer to Kane, the villain from RoboCop 2.
They both lack empathy. They both want to kill. They both have this inner rage and this need for power and control.
Nathaniel's days become a constant stream of violent movies and alcohol abuse.
Nathaniel, wake up! Get up!
What are you doing?
This. What are you? You've been in here watching these movies all
day. Yeah, I'm watching that. You cut that off?
You were asleep!
Okay, well, it helps me sleep then. What gives you the right
to
cut a movie off that I'm watching? Are you crazy?
From watching his films and being in isolation, he's developing into a killer. He's developing into a character who needs to find an object to place his uncontrollable rage onto.
Jill Garrison is often the victim of Nathaniel's unpredictable rage.
He got abusive where he would be choking me or slapping me.
Babe, I'm sorry.
Then the apology would come and we'd work things out.
Babe, listen to me. You know, earlier I don't know what got into me. I kind of just lost myself. You know, I didn't mean it.
Till the next trigger or whatever would make him mad.
Babe, you know what? Forget it.
The temper was progressing more and more.
Nathaniel's anger eventually spills into the streets of upstate New York.
That need for power becomes his addiction, his drive, and his reality for living.
Excuse me, gorgeous. Don't I know you?
I don't think so.
I just would drive around and I would see a girl and I would talk to her. And once I got in my car, we would go someplace, and I just snapped.
After the 1987 success of the movie RoboCop, Orion Pictures pushes for a sequel.
For the sequel to RoboCop, everything was bigger and badder. There were more drugs. It was just very 80s action movie.
And like most sequels, RoboCop 2 highlights a terrifying villain named Kane, who will stop at nothing to kill.
The villain was a warlord in Detroit who took pleasure in seeing people die. It seemed to really turn him on.
For Poughkeepsie, New York resident Nathaniel White, RoboCop's villain in the sequel is a hero.
The villains are a little bit off the beaten path, but worshipped. And that's what Nathaniel identifies with.
I just would drive around and I would see a girl and I would talk to her.
On the night of March 25th, 1991, no woman is safe.
Nathaniel states he started to hear voices.
Excuse me, gorgeous.
He would see a pretty woman, and he would say to himself, she doesn't deserve to live.
You know what? I think I seen you over at the corner street last Friday night. Was that you dancing?
I do go there, yeah.
I knew that was you. Man, you got some crazy moves.
Thanks.
By the way, I'm Nathaniel. What's your name?
I'm Juliana.
Juliana.
Nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Juliana Frank lives in a nearby town.
She was in her late 20s. She was a single mother. She was real pretty. She was unattainable to somebody like him.
I know this sounds crazy, but I prayed to God if I ever see this beautiful goddess again, I'm going to ask her out, buy a drink. And since I see you, can I buy you a drink?
I don't know.
I'll buy you anything you like.
Okay, all right.
Yeah? All right, hop in.
Sure.
This is one of the things that made people vulnerable was there was only one way to get around, and that was by car. A lot of people don't have cars.
Thank you for the ride.
This guy's got a car. Let's get a ride. He's not that big. He doesn't seem like he's going to be a problem.
Nathaniel takes Juliana to the railroad tracks, where they crack open a couple of beers.
Welcome to my favorite spot. Ta-da.
Juliana thinks he's just a nice guy looking to have some fun.
Right? Mind if I have some of that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Trains are beautiful, right?
Nathaniel has this rage and this anger, and he needs to place it on someone.
Yeah, so...
just down there.
And unfortunately, that someone becomes Juliana Frank.
It's just what you need.
Out of nowhere, Nathaniel starts punching her. And then he leaves her, unconscious, lying on the railway tracks.
But this brutal attack isn't over. Inspired by a scene from RoboCop 2, Nathaniel has more in store for Juliana.
In RoboCop 2, the villain asks a henchman to cut open a traitor, and he basically just guts him from head to toe while everyone watches.
Like in the film RoboCop 2, Nathaniel returns to Juliana Frank. And although she's still unconscious, he slits her throat.
The first girl that I killed was from a RoboCop movie with a man named Kane. I seen him cut somebody's throat and then take the knife and slit him down the chest and the stomach and left the body in a certain position. And that was the first person that I killed. I had did exactly what I seen on the movie.
He is, in his mind, the actor who's acting out the part. It's almost as if, once again, he's saying, it's not me, it's everybody else. It's not me that committed this murder. It's the movie that taught me and showed me and instructed me how to do my first murder.
No one discovers Juliana's body until the next day.
There were police who were saying that they couldn't rule out that there was more than one person involved. That's how badly she was beaten.
On April 16th, just 3 weeks after Juliana's death, Nathaniel is hunting again.
I was just a different person. You know, I just seemed like once I just started smelling blood, I just completely just bugged out.
Is that you?
God, what are you doing here?
What's up? How are you? I haven't seen you in forever.
Last call, folks. Are you all set?
About to close soon.
I know.
He was very charming. That's what reeled you in.
I could give you a ride home.
Could you give me a ride home?
He feels he's in control. This woman needs a ride home.
Oh, gentlemen, I see.
Always.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But once they're in the car, his locked car, he flips.
I just snap. You know, no reason for it, or I don't know where it comes from.
Hey, the turn's up here, if you remember. You just missed the turn. Why did you just miss the turn?
Because I'm not taking you home.
Then where are you taking me? Nathaniel?
Nathaniel wants to kill. Because that is something in his skewed brain that he's successful at. Where he can be in control. Where he can have power over their life or their death.
Okay. Is that a knife?
Shut up!
Because Jill isn't home, Nathaniel decides to take the girl to his house.
I didn't have an inkling. If he was out and he was drinking, then something, you know, his personality would change.
It's just like in the movies.
Get out.
Nathaniel relates to the need for violence, just like the villains in RoboCop.
Nice and easy. Open the door.
I'm opening the door.
He has no regard for human life, and he's completely in control.
This young girl's trapped. She knows she's not going home.
Shut up!
What are you doing?
But somehow she was able to gain free. She races across the field and goes towards a porch light of another house, screaming, "Help me! Help me!
Please, somebody help me! Somebody help me!
It's Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner. If you like what you're hearing, check out the Dark Crime Mysteries on your TV on Reels channel. There are the horrifying true stories of murderers like the Unabomber, who used the mail to claim his victims, and Ted Bundy, the serial killer who used his good looks to stalk unsuspecting women. Then check out the Reels medical mystery series, Autopsy, that reveals what really killed screen and music legends like Robin Williams, Lucille Ball, Prince, and Johnny Cash. You can find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Then check the top of the screen to find Reels in your area.
In the action thriller RoboCop 2, the film's villain is a violent serial killer who murders anyone who gets in his way.
He doesn't care how he kills or who he kills. He has no remorse, and if somebody gets in his way, they're dead.
In Poughkeepsie, New York, a RoboCop fan named Nathaniel White is just as deadly as the film's antagonist. He's killed one woman and is trying to kill another.
It just came. Something just said she don't deserve to live.
Like a classic movie villain, Nathaniel has vanished, but his copycat crime spree is far from over.
Nathaniel wanted to be a villain, like in RoboCop 2. He committed one murder, but he wasn't successful in killing again. He was a failure in his own mind for not being able to achieve a second murder.
It's a costly mistake for Nathaniel.
Mr. White, please open the door.
Nathaniel White?
Yeah, that's me.
You're under arrest.
What's this about?
You're being charged with attempted kidnapping. Turn around, sir. Let's go. Turn around.
I never thought he was capable of that. But I've known him. This was years. I was surprised and I was kind of bewildered.
All right, Mr. Wright, this way.
Nathaniel is sent to court where he pleads guilty to a misdemeanor charge of unlawful imprisonment. Although there are many similarities, detectives never question Nathaniel for the murder of Juliana Frank, which occurred just 3 weeks earlier. He is sentenced to a year in prison.
He keeps busy in prison. He works his mind in the law library and works his body in the gym.
Nathaniel's an ideal prisoner. After just 12 months, he is released back out into society.
Nathaniel gets a second chance.
He returns home to live with his girlfriend, Jill.
But he's far worse than he was before. He's meaner. He's more ruthless.
Nathaniel tries to stay out of trouble, but being a villain is in his nature. In June of 1992, just 2 months after being released from prison, Nathaniel is feeling the need to kill.
His car broke down, or he didn't have a car anymore. And I've always had a car. So then he would use my car while I'm at work.
While driving around, Nathaniel spots a familiar face. 14-year-old Christine Klebe.
Christine Klebe was a niece of mine, my brother's only child.
Uncle Nathaniel?
Oh, hey, Christine. I didn't recognize you. You shouldn't be out here alone.
Now, Christine is Nathaniel's girlfriend's niece. But he treats her like his own.
You're too young for that.
No. It's fine. I walk this way home every day. I'm okay.
Okay, well, look. Hop in. It'll be a lot quicker.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But Nathaniel isn't taking Christine home. He drives her to a deserted part of town. And he's got movies on his mind.
When I look at TV and I see a movie and something violent has happened, it seems to just sink in, okay? And when I hear this voice in my head saying she deserves to die or you should hit her or, you know, you should beat her up, I just do it. You know, it's like I don't have no control. I just do it.
Now, here we have a 14-year-old girl who is basically Nathaniel's niece. Get out. An individual whose family, an individual who trusts Nathaniel. Stabbed her in the throat until she was dead.
He's not all that calculating. These are spur-of-the-moment rages he goes into because he's been rejected by women all his life.
Nathaniel's second murder, once again, copies a killing from RoboCop 2.
In RoboCop 2, the villain has a young sidekick named Hob. And once he is released and brought back, he ends up killing Hob, and that kind of mirrors what happened with Nathaniel.
Several days pass as Jill's family searches for Christine.
She became missing, and they thought she ran away. That was what teenagers do. If they don't get along with you, then they run away or stay somewhere else. He was concerned about her missing Christine and said he would try to help, and he would look out.
Nathaniel is playing the role of a good guy, but in reality, he's a cold-blooded killer. And somehow, this is even more empowering for Nathaniel. That the killer is walking among the victims. But no one suspects him.
Nathaniel's killed twice and gotten away with it.
He's still restless. And that restlessness unfortunately turns to anger. And that anger needs to be placed onto some object.
Just 2 weeks after killing his niece, Nathaniel is back on the street looking for women to prey on. He spots Laurette Higgins Revere, a woman who is friends with his girlfriend, Jill Garrison. She's packing up to move back home.
Looks like you could use some help.
Hey, Nathaniel, you're such a big help. Thank you.
She feels safe with Nathaniel. He has been dating one of her close friends for a number of years.
Thank you.
Killing women is his addiction. She has no idea she's in danger.
Although entertaining, the gory deaths and graphic violence in the RoboCop film franchise are a shock to audiences.
No one was putting out movies like that at the time. The level of gore was off the charts.
Even the MPAA, the organization that gives movies their ratings, acknowledges the film's over-the-top violence.
For the original RoboCop, it was given an X rating, and the producers wanted to have an R rating so more people could see it. So they went back and cut some of the gore.
Unfortunately for the small town of Poughkeepsie, villains aren't just in the movies. They have a serial killer on the streets named Nathaniel White.
In June of 92, after he's already killed two women, Nate sees a woman named Laurette Higgins Revere. He knows her casually because she's friends with Jill Garrison.
Thank you so much, Nathaniel.
Laurette is in the middle of a move, so Nathaniel offers to help her.
They were friends, but at this point, no one knows how dangerous. I mean, he's got a past, but I don't think that Laurette knew what he was capable of doing.
This is my new house. I'm so excited.
At some point in the night, Nathaniel starts to argue with her.
Nathaniel, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't drink it here.
What? You gonna tell me I can't have a drink after I've been helping you with all these boxes?
Nate didn't really need a reason to go flying off the handle.
You're calm down.
Too much.
You're talking to a man over here. You don't tell me what to do.
Look,
I'm a man.
I need you to back up.
You're not gonna talk to me like that. Hey, wait, you don't talk to me like that.
She yells and she screams at Nathaniel, but her harsh words and her rejection only feeds his rage and anger.
You back up!
She is able to defend herself when Nathaniel is advancing on her.
He grabbed a pair of scissors and went crazy.
Unfortunately, killing became a vehicle for him to release his anger and for him then to feel powerful and in control. In a life that for him in general, he felt powerless and out of control.
Nathaniel leaves Laurette's home. His girlfriend, Jill Garrison, has no idea that she's living with a man who has killed both her niece and her friend.
I heard about her death in the paper and I was surprised by the whole thing. No one put it together. No one thought that a serial killer was... Even that didn't cross our minds. Just, you know, a random crime.
He's growing as a serial killer. He's maturing and he's developing.
There's no telling when he'll strike again. On July 19th, 1992, just 9 days after his last kill, Nathaniel is around town having a good time.
Angelina Hopkins and Brenda Whiteside were friends. There was a club that was popular in downtown Poughkeepsie called the Blue Note. They met Nate at the Blue Note.
Oh, my God. Y'all are so beautiful.
All right, guys, I think I'm going to go home now.
What?
Come on, baby.
Angelina's sister was also there.
Angelina's sister was not crazy about it.
Nathaniel promises to get Angelina and Brenda home safely.
You, my dear.
Such a gentleman. Such a gentleman.
Let me help you up.
Mine's too. Okay.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Watch,
okay.
Watch your head. Nice and slow. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Nathaniel is with these two women all night.
But the night never turns romantic. In the morning, Nathaniel's rage starts to surface.
Something switched. Something changed. More than likely, because they rejected him.
He took Angelina in the woods.
Out of view from Brenda.
He strangled Angelina and beat her pretty badly. The crime scene photos were horrendous.
Authorities speculate that when Nathaniel returned to the car to get Brenda, she never thought she was in trouble because of the killer's charming ways.
Then he came back to the car, and then he beat and strangled Brenda.
He leaves both their bodies in the woods and drives away.
His confidence is, I'll never get caught. He's taking more risks. He's killing more people, literally in the town where he lives. And he's killing people he's been seen with for the whole evening.
Nathaniel feels more like a RoboCop villain than ever.
He looks up to the villains in the movies. He strongly identifies with their anger and their need for control.
2 weeks after his double murder, Nathaniel is feeling invincible.
He returns to the same club where he had met Angie. And of course, that's very brazen and very bold because people may recognize him as the man who left with her.
But someone in the club is watching Nathaniel's every move.
No. Yeah. He's here at the bar.
Like every good action film, RoboCop has its signature tagline.
The RoboCop franchise's signature catchphrase was, "Dead or alive, you're coming with me." Couldn't be forgotten by audiences in the 80s and 90s.
In Poughkeepsie, New York, copycat serial killer Nathaniel White has a different catchphrase.
Nathaniel's catchphrase was, "Can I give you a ride home?" And it still haunts the streets of his town to this day.
Like a RoboCop villain, Nathaniel has a large death count, including a woman named Angelina Hopkins and her friend Brenda.
A little over a week after Angelina and Brenda disappeared, Angelina's sister saw Nate at the club Blue Note and called her mom, Anna.
Yes. Yeah, he's leaving the bar now.
Anna Hopkins is a formidable woman. She did not walk up and whisper in his ear. She got up in his face. She was not going to be denied.
Excuse me, sir. Do you know my daughter, Angelina?
Who?
Nathaniel quickly realizes that Anna Hopkins has already called the police.
Did you meet a woman named Angelina here last week?
I think I do remember dropping somebody off like that.
Do you have an address, sir? Where'd you take her? What time was that approximately?
Sir, was she hurt? Was she hurt, sir?
Sir, an address.
555 Esperanza Lane.
Nate told Angelina's mom he had dropped off her and Brenda, and he gave her two addresses.
You will find her, 555.
Was she okay?
But Angelina's mother sees right through Nathaniel's facade. As do the authorities.
Poughkeepsie police called for some help from the state police. They asked them to check the addresses that Nate had supplied them with, and the addresses turned out to be bad.
But police do find that Nathaniel is driving on a suspended license in a car with stolen plates. Later that day, he is arrested and interrogated by police.
Nathaniel, those addresses you gave to Angelina's mother weren't correct. You were the last person to see her.
It's not true.
Matter of fact, looks like you've been down this road before, Nathaniel. Attempted kidnapping.
At Loretta Higgins' house, we found your bloody fingerprints. You were the last one to see her.
I wasn't there.
After 17 hours of questioning. Nathaniel finally breaks down and confesses to the murders.
The first girl that I had killed was from a RoboCop movie. I've seen a mom cut somebody's throat and then take the knife and slit him down the chest and the stomach and left the body in a certain position, and that's was the first person that I killed. I did exactly what I seen on the movie.
While in custody, Nathaniel shockingly informs police that there is a sixth victim, a 29-year-old woman named Adrian Hunter.
All I know is that while I'm doing it, I enjoy it. You know, it's like it stimulates me or something. And then it seems like a dream. Then after it's over, that's when the remorse comes. That's when I feel sorry, you know, for what I've done, and I don't believe it.
Nathaniel tells the police exactly where to find Angelina, Brenda, and Christine Klebe, his 14-year-old niece, who has been missing for over a month.
I was lost at that time. Then I just became in a state where I just rocked and cried. And people would come to visit me, but I couldn't. I was devastated.
After a lengthy trial, Nathaniel is sentenced to 150 years in prison.
Do I think he feels guilty? No. I don't think this guy has any empathy for anyone. In the movie, the villains always get killed at the end of the movie. But in Nathaniel's mind, he thought he was invincible, that he would never get caught.
The real crimes committed by Nathaniel White still send chills down the spine of this small town.
At that time, you know, I'd watch scary movies and action. So now you don't think that type of situation that you're seeing on TV is going to come into your life. That stuff never crosses your mind.
For someone who was so unsuccessful in life, he certainly made himself known to the community. And the community will never forget him because he caused so much fear to the town he grew up in.
I think that if the Nate Whites of the world had some other way to spend their time, than watching RoboCop and RoboCop 2 and then all the other things that he was into. I think that goes a long way.
If you enjoyed this episode of Copycat Killers, don't forget to subscribe at Podcast One or Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com. That's Reelz.com for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including chilling reenactments and crime scene photos you'll only find on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. I'm Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner.